People come in, they can get.
Bessie's down there. Okay. All right. The Rambam writes, beginning of Hilchot Taniyot, that the reason we fast when bad things happen is for it to be a chance for us to reflect on why bad things are happening and to try and correct whatever needs to be corrected so the bad things will stop. Now, that makes a lot of sense when we're dealing with bad things happening in the present. If we're suffering, it's obviously for a reason. We have to understand what the message is. What's interesting is to see how the Rambam in Perakeh relates to fasts that are based on things that happened in the past. Because things that happened in the past, that's not assumably connected to us in the present. So some suggest that the fasts we have on things for the past are because of mourning for what happened and what we're missing. But the Rambam writes otherwise and connects it to what he wrote in Perak Aleph. He writes that there are days when we fast because of things that happened in the past, Perak Halach Aleph, Kedei La'orer Halevavot V'Liftoach Darkei Tshuva, in order to awaken our hearts and open up the paths of tshuva, similar to what he said in Perak Aleph. But the question is, why should we be doing tshuva for something that happened in the past? So here the Rambam connects and explains. It should be a reminder for the bad things we do, the bad things our ancestors did, like what we do now, that caused them and us the same types of suffering. The Rambam's meshing of present with past is very interesting, and I think requires a little bit of an explanation. The Rambam says is the reason we're still fasting for things that happened in the past is because those tzarot continue on some level today. And if those tzarot continue on some level today, it's an indication that whatever problems caused those tzarot to happen still exist today, which is why we're suffering the same results. In other words, the reflection one should be making on a Tanit is, how is whatever happened then still happening today? And how is that connected to problems that once existed that still exist? So the past is very much an actual part of the present from this view. And so the avoda on a Tanit is not just a, you know, some kind of self-suffering, we like hurting ourselves. The reason we don't eat is to kind of change the day and get us to focus on something else. So a Tanit shouldn't be focusing on the fact that you're hungry. It should be focusing on what we suffer with today that's similar and how it comes from the same problems that existed in the past. And that's what I'd like to do with us before we go out on a, you know, walking tour is very appropriate for an afternoon of a Tanit. You know, wherever you came from, you know, in the afternoon of a Tanit, what do? You know, you stay on, you go to sleep. We bum around. That obviously is not, it's hard to learn. You know, from 4 o'clock on a day when you're fasting, unless you're a Herschel Schechter, per the story that we spoke about. The only way you ever become Herschel Schechter, of course, by doing that when you're, you know, 21 and 22. But putting that aside, if, you know, Asar B'Tevet, even before we get into the depths of it, is commemorative of the piercing of the walls of the Old City. Can't be a better commemoration of that and reflection on that than connecting to those walls, which we'll, you know, have the opportunity to do after the Sikha. The Yerushalmi, the bottom of the first page, which I think is very much the basis of what the Rambam is speaking about, writes the relationships between the generations. Maybe our generation is better than earlier ones because we didn't cause the Churban. Rabbi Eliezer answered his Talmidim, raised this question, saying, "Kol dor she'enu nivna biyom of mal din olav ki'ilu hu echrivo." The base, I think this isn't rebuilt in our days. It's because we are suffering from the same problems. And it's as if we destroyed it. If we had it, we would have been destroyed. So the question is, what are we trying to fix? You know, when we think about Asar B'Teves in this context, I think if you, you know, ask the average person to name the taniyot that are most severe, you know, the ones that are abundant, that commemorate suffering in the past, it's not everyone would say Tisha B'Av is first. And if you push them to say what's second, they would say Mestam Shavas B'Tamuz, right? I don't know where exactly Asar B'Teves would rank, but not high up. You know, this 7-hour tinus, you know, when people wake up. It's interesting, therefore, to note that at least in one way, Asar B'Teves is more chomer than all of the Taniot, including Tisha B'Av. If you take a look at the second page, it says in Yechezkel, Shem told him on the 9th year, in Golus, he was in Bavel at that time, on the 10th month, on the 10th day, Asar B'Teves, to write down Etzem Hayom Hazeh, to write down the nature of this day. Because on this day he's being informed, Melech Bavel laid siege to Yerushalayim, again repeated second time, the end of Pasuk Bet, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Now those who have good biblical skills know that the term Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh appears three times in reference to Yom Kippur. Based on this similarity, the Beit Yosef quotes the Avudram, who says that Asar B'Tevet is different than other Taniot, that if it would fall on Shabbat, the calendar doesn't allow for that, but if it did, and once upon a time it could have, we would not be allowed to delay it till Sunday. We would have to fast it on Shabbat, like Yom Kippur was this year. In fact, Halacha L'maaseh continues that when Asar B'Tevet falls on Friday, and it can, and it did last year, we fast it that day, or a couple of years ago, we fast it that day, and we don't bring it up to Thursday, because it's Etzem Hayom Hazeh. And what you see from this is the opposite of what you would have thunk. I would have thought, right, that Asar B'Tevet is basically just the beginning of a process that is severe because of how it ends. No. Asar B'Tevet is a day that in and of itself is significant. Reb Chaim, in his Pirush on Rosh Hashanah, he writes, explaining this halacha, by all the other taniot, the Navi Zechariah, we'll see it later, only speaks about the month when the Tanit falls. Tzom ha'asiri, v'tzom ha'revi, v'tzom ha'chamishi. Asar B'Tevet is not just about the month, it's about the particular day, and that's why you can't move the day, even if it would be Shabbat. I think the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah on the same sugya already implies this idea. Chaim and I've had the Ritva in any case. Pnei Yisachar, the great Chassidic Rebbe, he adds a dimension to this, which I think is maybe not obvious, but clearly so, and I think helps us put the picture together before we explain anything. He says, we see from here the significance of the beginning of a process, the Atchalta de Puronisa. And he bases this on a sugya in Tanis Daf Choftes, which speaks about the fact that Tisha B'Av was a question whether it should be on the 9th or the 10th day, because the major burning of the Beit Mikdash was on the 10th day, not the 9th day. The Gemara says we institute on the 9th day because the beginning of the process is the most severe. And that's what Asar B'Tevet is. And the question is why? What's the severity that lies in the beginning of the process that makes this particular day so important that the Tanit would be today, even if it were Shabbat, as opposed to all the other Taniot, including Tisha B'Av? So I think the beginning of the answer we'll find on page 3. The source for this Tanit, of course, time of Bayit Sheni, the Jews are returning. They're not sure whether they should continue fasting the fasts. They ask Zechariah Hanavi, Hashem begins the answer by relating to four taniot. The tzom of the fourth month, the tzom of the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month. Tzom of the fourth month, of course, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Shabbat Tammuz. Fifth month, Tisha B'Av. Seventh month, Tzom Gedalia, because they had no question about continuing to fast Yom Kippur. The Tzom Asiri is, of course, Asar B'Tevet. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Chet, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai talks about four things his Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, held, and that he, Reb Shimon, disagreed with him on. And the first is about what day in the 10th month the fast should be fasted. Tzom ha'asiri, Rabbi Akiva said, is Asara B'Teves, Shebo Samach Melech Baval Yerushalayim, because that's the day the siege was laid. We saw the Pasuk in Yecheskel on the page before. If you look further down here, Melochim Bet, next source, Perichof Hey, it refers there also to the 10th of Teves, the day when the siege was laid. The Gemara continues and says, so why is it called Tzom HaAsiri? Right, because of the fact that it was in the 10th month. So Rabbi Shimon asks a question to Rabbi Akiva, so if the Tzom HaAsiri is commemorating Asar B'Teves, then it should have been written first because it's commemorating the first historical event. So he answers, it goes in order of the months. Fine. Rabbi Shimon then says the second part of the Gemara, V'ani eini omer kein, Tzom HaAsiri is the 5th of Teves, not the 10th. The fast in the 10th month is not the 10th of Tevet, but the 5th of Tevet. Why are we commemorating the 5th of Tevet? Because it's the day when people in Galut heard about the city of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. Meaning, Tzar B'Tevet, the siege was laid. Tisha B'Av, it was destroyed. The next year, Hey B'Tevet, word got to Bavel about the destruction. They made the day they heard about it, like the Yom Srefa, like Tisha B'Av, as bad, they had a tinus. If you look at the two sources later, Yecheskel Perek Lamed Gimel reports in the 12th year, 5th of the 10th month, the Pullet from Yerushalayim came and informed them about the destruction. Now this is very strange. Why would Reb Shimon say that we should commemorate the day they heard about it in Galut? Obviously not a happy day, but that should be a fast day. What about the day when they heard about other things? Maybe we should make fast days for that too. Why would that be so? So what we start noticing is there's the 10th of Tevet, there's the 5th of Tevet, and if we look at the next source, Megillat Ta'anit, which talks about the events of Bayit Sheni, the happy days, the sad days, it talks about 3 days in Tevet. The 8th day is the day the Greeks forced the writing of the Torah into Greek, and 3 days of darkness came to the world because of it. The 9th day, the Megillat Ta'anit says, we fast, we don't know why. It's not written, not we don't know why, it's not written. And the 10th day is the day when the siege was laid. So it's the 5th, it's the 8th, it's the 9th, the 10th. The Shulchan Aruch brings this. He quotes about the 9th day and says, it's not told why. The Magen Avraham, though, refers to our Slichot, that we said this morning, bottom of the page, where it talks about the 3 Makot, 8th, 9th, and 10th. And the 9th day, it talks about the death of Ezra HaSofer. And the obvious question here is, a lot of great people died in the course of Judaism. Maybe we should fast every day? Or if you're Chassidic, not say Tachton every day, right? Meaning, why Dafke Ezra HaSofer? I'm not taking anything away from him, right? I don't know if people know, there's a Talmud who went to this yeshiva. His name is Ezra Daifani. He's an older person already. And he works as a sofer in the old city here. I just took my son there to get a new tefillin. And we call him here Ezra HaSofer. Which makes sense because he says, now Ezra Daifani, as far as I know, is okay. He should live to 120. But the original Ezra HaSofer was before the yeshiva. Rabbi Dari's old, but not that old. In any case, he died. Now the question is, why should that be so significant that it should be connected somehow to this bigger perspective of Tevet? So the point I'm trying to make is, Asar B'Tevet, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, is about the laying of the siege. But there's a lot of other days in this month, and the question is how they're related. The death of Ezra, the translation of the Greeks, the 5th day when they heard about it in Galut, and of course, to add to this the modern dimension, after the Holocaust, founding a state of Israel, the question came up, when, how should we commemorate the Holocaust? So many secular people wanted to make a new day and wanted to make it connected to the rebellion of the Warsaw Ghetto to highlight, you know, the fighting Jews as opposed to the Mesiras Nefesh Jews, whatever. The Rabbanut HaRashit, the religious world in Israel, connected the Holocaust to Asar B'Tevet. That's why there was the speaker a little while ago. And the question is why? How does that fit in? And as we'll see, it all fits in. And of course, the beginning of understanding all of this is understanding the significance of the siege. Okay, piercing of the walls, you know, the conquering of the city, we understand the destruction of the basement. What's the significance of the siege? So the Rambam, top of page 4, when he talks about the significance of each Ta'anit, he says in the second line, Asar B'Tevet is when Melech Bavel Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to the city, Veheviya B'Matzor U'V'Matzok. Those are the two words the Rambam uses to describe the matzor, literally the siege, uvimatzok, and the suffering. And we're going to have to get a better understanding of this, because if you look at Sefer Yecheskel, when we're told about the intention of the siege, Yecheskel Perek Yud Zayin says, "Velo bechel gadol v'kahal rav yaseh oto paro b'milchama." Paro is not going to attack you with a big army, but b'shvoch solalo b'vnot dayek l'hachrit nefashot ravot, by pouring out sand, building siege walls around the city, to destroy many souls. Meaning, a siege not only causes the death and suffering of many people, that's the goal. The goal is to ravish and undermine the city. Or Yecheskel Perek Chafalef, a few prokem later, when he's deciding which city to attack first, B'nei Amon Yerushalayim, to see what God's intention is, the kesem, the twig falls on the direction of Yerushalayim. It says, Pasuk Zayin, B'yameinu Ya Kesem Yerushalayim, Lasum Karim V'Leftoach Pe Beretzach. Again, the same goal. And that's why Yecheskel Perek Chav Dalet, when God tells Yecheskel to create these symbolic signs of the siege, one of them is to take a big pot, fill it with water and bones and meat, and cook it until everything inside is burnt. And the point is that the pot symbolizes the city of Yerushalayim that's going to burn everything in it alive and burnt. And by the way, just anyone who's ever learned Yecheskel, people of Yerushalayim were confident that no one could ever conquer it. They didn't have to do tshuva. The city would protect them. The symbolism of this is that the pot, the city isn't just a protection. It's the pot you're going to be cooked. Your goose is going to be cooked in. Continuing back, Yecheskel Perek Dalet, we'll get a little bit more to the symbolism of this later, but he's told to take a machvat barzel, a metal pan, and place it as a wall between himself and the symbolic city he had built to symbolize the siege. Continuing on page 5, talks about how the siege will, Pasuk Tet Zayin particularly, will break the staff of bread in Yerushalayim to the point where people will ration out the food and water out of the terrible suffering. And the truth is that this concept of siege, Yechezkel describes in the terrible suffering, is really based on the Tochacha, on the end of Sefer Devarim, the end of the Torah. And it's in that Tochacha where the two words as a pair are used that the Rambam got the phrase from. You see it underlined, Matzor and Matzok. See, Yechezkel is a throwback. He's talking about the realization of those ideas. Tochacha there in Parshat Ki Tavo describes the different ensuing severe stages of the siege. Finally, Pasuk Mem Tet, it says, Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Merechok. And the reason I highlight that is because, you know, the neighborhood fights you have with the guys you know, I don't know if you had, you grew up in your neighborhood, you know, daily fights with your neighbors. In my block, it was Bobby and Ricky Osuna. You know, Puerto Rican kids live in my block. So, you know, you have your daily skirmishes, but you know you're going to see them tomorrow. So when you fight with the Plishtim and Aram and, you know, the Ammonites and the Moabites, you know, there's the local rules of the neighborhood. When the Goy Merechok comes, who doesn't understand your language, has no sympathy for you, he's a mercenary from a distance, that's when it gets bad. And it talks about how it's going to lay siege to you until you're ravished and your cities fall apart. End of Pasuk and Gimel. B'matzoru v'matzok asher yitzik l'cho oivecho. The next Pesukim, Nun Dalet, Nun Hei, then Nun Vav and Nun Zayin, specify the Matzor and the Matzok. It starts Nun Dalet, the softest of men in your city will look badly at his own brother and his own wife and his own children and not want to share with them the flesh of one of his children who he's eating. The situation will be so desperate. People become desperate often, they become selfish. He won't want to share his child's flesh with his other family members. Pasuk Nunvav even more. The soft woman who wouldn't step on the floor because of how careful she was about dirt, isn't going to want to share the shilya, the stillborn baby flesh, with her family. And unfortunately, we saw this kind of horrific situations, you know, 70, 80 years ago, when the Jews were in desperate circumstances. Again, how desperate people can become. I think another important connection with the Tochacha is, of course, the way it's described in Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph. We all know Pasuk Yud Zayin there talks about God's anger expressing itself in God's abandonment of the Jewish people, his hester panim, hiding his face from them. And that is the deeper significance, going back to page 4, bottom of the page, Yechezkel Perek Dalet, of the iron pan that's placed there to separate between Yechezkel, God's prophet, and the city that he built symbolically. What it symbolizes is that God is cutting himself off from the Jewish people. Or as the Gemara writes, back to page 5, second source from the bottom, Brachot Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet, Rebbe Elazar says, from the day of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Nifsika Chomas Barzel, there's an iron wall that separates Bein Yisrael, Avi and Sheba Shemayim, Shenemar, our Pasuk, V'yato Kach Lecho Machvat Barzel, V'natato Takir Barzel, Bein Cho V'Neir. From the Churban and on, this is the situation, and the truth is, on some level, it begins on Asar B'Teves. Or in other words, the deeper significance of the siege and the suffering it brings is that the Jewish people are being cut off not just from the physical sustenance from the world around them, but from God's sustenance, who's really behind all of it. And on a deeper level, the reason the fracture of our relationship with God brings to the physical suffering it brings is so that we should appreciate the great significance of that fracture. If it wouldn't bring suffering, if God would just say, I'm angry at you, we'd be like, okay. All of this suffering is for us to appreciate the implications of that separation. That's why the Chatam Sofer writes in the bottom of the page here that the reason we have a Tanit of Asar B'Teves, what's the significance of the siege? He says, because the day the siege was laid, there was a decision made on top, high up, Bez Din Shel Mala, to separate God from the Jewish people. And he says, in every generation, the Bez Din sits and redecides this question on Asar B'Teves. And he says, that's why we fasted on Shabbos, because it's only Shabbos to reflect on this and to try and repair it. It's a good thing to try and repair. And to continue one last step with this, when we talk about the significance of the siege, if we go back to the top of page 5, the continuation of Yechezkel Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Hashem, Kacha yochlu v'nei Yisrael et lachmam tamei, bagoyim asher adichem sham. The Jewish people, now that they're going to be sent down to Golos, are going to have to eat their food betumah, in a disgusting way. The term Bagoyim Asher Adichem Sham, Tav of page 6, is of course based on another pasuk that appears within the Tocha, Devarim Perek Lamed. When all these things happen, you'll be in the Goyim Asher Hidichacha Hashem Elokecha Shama. The siege is already the beginning of the eventual Galut. Or as Yecheskel describes, continuing on page 6, Perek Hei, Pasuk Bet, he talks about a third of the city being burnt alive, and a third of the city being burnt, killed by the sword, and a third of the city being dispersed. They'll be spread around by the wind and pursued by the sword, based on the other Toch of Yikra Perek Chavav, V'yatchem Ezorev V'goyim V'harikoti Achareichem Chorev, etc. The roots of the Galut are already there on Asar B'Tevet. Or as the Medrash says in a very powerful way, fourth source, page 6, O Tova Gadol Asarim Yisrael, Hashem did the Jewish people a favor, Ketzat, Shebe'asar B'Tevet Hayuruyim Yisrael Ligalot Mi'Yisraelayim. The Jews should have gone into Galut on Asar B'Tevet. Because he was told to write down the day that day, Yecheskel Perek Chav Dalet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the Jewish people a favor. He didn't want them to go in the cold of winter and get sick. So he waited for the summer. He delayed 6 months. He did them a favor. But the Galut was already ready to happen on Asar B'Tevet. What does this mean? Why is the Galut connected to Asar B'Tevet and not just Tisha B'Av when the city was and the Beis HaMikdash were destroyed? I think the explanation is very simple. We're in Eretz Yisrael because we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When that relationship is fractured, essentially we have no place here. It may have taken some time for it to happen technically or for whatever reason, but in the end, the Galut begins the moment the decision is made to separate between God and us. So the Galut and everything that has happened since really begins on Asar B'Tevet. And that's why Reb Shimon suggests that maybe there should be significance to when it's heard about in Galut, because it's a day that connects to Galut. And that's why the forced translation of the Torah into Greek with all of the negative that caused, and the need for Ezra Sofer to have to repair the assimilation that's happened because Jews have lived in Bavel, and ultimately all of the suffering for thousands of years in Galut that are because of the fact that we can't be in our land, or more significantly, the fact that we don't have God's protection. All of that suffering is due to Asar B'Tevet. And of course, most significantly, most recently, the terrible decimation of the Jewish people in the Holocaust begins on Asar B'Tevet. Asar B'Tevet is about everything and nothing. Nothing happened on Asar B'Tevet, but everything happened on Asar B'Tevet. It's the beginning of terrible suffering because it's the moment when we're separated. If we think about it in our own times, how hard Jews have tried to try and find some peace for the Jewish people. How much hope many Jews have had over the past years that, you know, peace is around the corner. You know, the Jews got so frustrated in Europe, particularly after their attempt to assimilate failed. So, you know what? Let's get the Jews out of the hair of the Europeans. We'll go somewhere far away, some sand dune in Israel, and when we gather the Jews there, take them out of Europe, then everyone will stop hating us. That worked very well. So then the Jews in Israel said, okay, we're going to be strong, we're going to beat up the Arabs in wars, we're going to show them, and then there'll be peace. Well, that didn't work very well either. So then Jews in Israel said, we'll give everything away. We'll give all the land away, we'll show a willingness to give everything away. Recently it came out that Herzog made an agreement with Abbas before the last election. He's going to give him all of the old city, including the Kotel. Not enough. And now the Jewish people, having separated themselves from the world and given them a rest from us, are under siege. I collected a couple of articles here recently. But, you know, just which one you collect. Just put in the word Israel siege. And the first bunch of articles will be how evil Israel is for laying siege to Gaza. And then, you know, eventually when you get down, you read people who talk about this sense of the world against the Jewish people. The world against Israel, Israel under siege. Has it changed? Why hasn't it changed? I want to conclude by talking about a very important sugya in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Chet, a continuation of what we were talking about before on the last page. Gemara there is talking about the psukim we referenced before from Zechariah Perek Ches, where the people in the beginning of Bayis Sheni asked him whether they should continue fasting. And Hashem answered that one day all of these fasts, Yiyeh Levet Yehuda L'Sasun L'Simcha L'Mo'adim Tovim V'Hemet V'Shalom Ahavu. One day all these fasts will not only be Bata, but will be days of celebration. Psukim don't make clear what that day is. Gemara in Hashanah Daf Yud Ches says when there'll be peace, it'll be Sasun and Simcha. As long as it's not peace, we have days of fasting. Well, what does peace mean? Question not only in our day, but a question already asked in the Gemara. So Rashi, Shiyesh Shalom, the third line in Rashi, says, peace means Shein Yada Goyim Tkeifa Al Yisrael. That we're not being attacked, the Goyim aren't controlling us. Look back at the Gemara, the line after Bizman Shiyesh Shalom, Rav Papa seems to say that because he contrasts Bizman Shiyesh Shalom with Yesh Shmad. So if Shmad is the opposite of Shalom, Pashtos is Shalom means you're not being attacked. Rambam also seemed told this way. Rambam writes in Hilchos Taanios that all of the tzomos will be batal liyamos haMashiach. You know, the Rambam tells in Hilchos Tshuva that yamos haMashiach is when we finally get a rest. The world continues naturally, but there's no more shibud malchiot. Rashba is a similar way of formulating what shalom is. He goes, when the Jews return to their land, we're back, we're at peace. But Rabbeinu Chananel has a different understanding of shalom. Rabbeinu Chananel says shalom means when there's a Beis HaMikdash. What's interesting is if you look back at Rashi, the third source, on the third line, Rashi says shalom is when we're not attacked by the goyim. But on the first line, he says the taniot are because there's no Beis HaMikdash. When there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, then they'll stop being taniot. So which one is it, peace or the Beis HaMikdash? If you look at the last source on the page, the Ritva mentions both of them together. Yisrael Shurin Alad Masanu Beis HaMikdash Kayim. So which one is it? Is it physical peace or is it spiritual peace? When will the taniot end, or in other words, what are the taniot about? And I think the reason Rishonim can put the two together is because the two are absolutely linked. Israel has been trying desperately to achieve peace. And I think those efforts are valiant. And they should continue. And we got to do the best we can. And achieve whatever level of peace we can. That having been said, I'm very confident that Israel will not have peace until there's peace. Or in other words, there won't be shalom until there's shalom between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, symbolized by the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I'm not saying we should be working on the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That's another question. But Les Mandepalig, and the reason many and most are against all these efforts to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is because they understand that the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash is not about us getting Bob the Builder tools on, and etc. The rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash is about us fixing things with God. Now, it could be part of that is connecting to the Harabayit, and okay, fine, that's a good discussion. The reason Jews suffer, Sarah Batavis teaches us, is because something happened between us and God. So the suffering isn't going to be fully fixed until we fix what happened between us and God. Now again, we should keep trying to get peace as much as possible, protect the Jews as much as possible. But the most important thing that the peace parties in Israel should be pushing for, the root of it, is to fix what happened that causing all this. And God ensures that no effort of the Jewish people will succeed at bringing them complete peace. It's pretty sad. And the question is, how long will it take for Jews to understand why they don't have peace? When will they learn that no matter how smart they are, no matter how ingratiating they'll be, no matter what they're willing to do, they're not going to have peace until there's peace? That's a lot of what's worth reflecting on in Aseret B'Teves. And that mistaken understanding is still there when we go back to what the Rambam wrote in the beginning. That the suffering that once existed continues today because the problems that led to it lead to it now. And if Jews thought that they were safe in any other way besides their relationship with God, well, that's what was blown open on Aseret B'Teves. And that's what we continue to suffer with today. And every time Jews feel they're safe and secure, terrible things happen to remind them that they're not. And the way we repair it is by internalizing this lesson and making sure to figure out how to live our lives in a way that expresses our appreciation of the centrality that our relationship with God should have in our lives. And live accordingly to that. So it's an important time to reflect on that. It's nothing and everything. Tisha B'Av is when the worst things happen, but it's not when it began. It was an implication. A terrible implication. We should mourn for it. So Arbatavis is the day when it's that day. It's this moment. And the Chassam Sofer says at this moment they're sitting up in Shamayim deciding which way we're going to go. And of course it's not all or nothing. We hope it should be all. But it's not all or nothing. It's for each one of us. what our years will be based on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that caused this there and that continues to cause all this now. So again, I think going out to the wall is very nice. People want to learn, also very nice. Davin, also very nice. But to reflect on the deeper meaning, not just the external meaning. And of course, all these taniyot mean much more when you're in Israel, when you're in Yerushalayim, when you're in the old city. You know, when you're in Chicago. You know Chicago? Well, that's a Sarah Batavis. It's a cold winter day. People feel strong enough to play football. Take their mind off the tinnitus, right? Sarah Batavis here. Mamish Raboisei. Right here. Right here. Understand what happened and learn from it. And in Mirat Hashem, fix it. Repair it. We should restore the relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done us a great favor in our generation. We're back in Eretz Yisrael, relatively speaking. Safe compared to what Jews have suffered with, relatively speaking. It's a great gift meant to help us appreciate that the relationship is still relevant. The question is whether we're going to take the gauntlet and strengthen that relationship. Mirat Hashem. Mirat Hashem, we all should. Okay, meeting by the front door for the siur. Everyone should have a meaningful fast.